that would be based on religious experience, such as revelation, in much the way that science is based on experiment and observation. Those who think that they have had religious experiences of their own have to judge for themselves the quality of that experience. But the great majority of the adherents to the world's religions are not relying on religious experience of their own, but on revelations that were supposedly experienced by others. It might be thought that this is not so different from the theoretical physicist relying on the experiments of others, but there is a very important distinction. The insights of the thousands of individual physicists have converged to a satisfying, though incomplete, common understanding of physical reality. In contrast, the statements about God or anything else that have been derived from religious revelation point in radically different directions. After thousands of years of theological analysis, we are no closer now to a common understanding of the lessons of religious revelation. There is another distinction between religious experience and scientific experiment. The lessons of religious experience can be deeply satisfying, in contrast to the abstract and impersonal worldview gained from scientific investigation. Unlike science, religious experience can suggest a meaning for our lives, a part for us to play in a great cosmic drama of sin and redemption, and it holds out to us a promise of some continuation after death. For just these reasons, the lessons of religious experience seem to me indelibly marked with the stamp of wishful thinking. In my 1977 book, The First 3 Minutes, I was rash enough to remark that the more the universe seems comprehensible, the more it seems pointless. I did not mean that science teaches us that the universe is pointless, but rather that the universe itself suggests no point. I hastened to add that there were ways that we ourselves could invent a point for our lives, including trying to understand the universe, but the damage was done. That phrase has dogged me ever since. Recently, Alan Lightman and Roberta Brower published interviews with 27 cosmologists and physicists, most of whom had been asked at the end of their interview what they thought of that remark. With various qualifications, 10 of the interviewees agreed with me, and 13 did not. But of those 13, 3 disagreed because they did not see why anyone would expect the universe to have a point. The Harvard astronomer Margaret Geller asked, "Why should it have a point? What point? It's just a physical system. What point is there?" I've always been puzzled by that statement. The Princeton astrophysicist Jim Peebles remarked, "I'm willing to believe that we are flotsam and jetsam." Peebles also guessed that I had had a bad day. Another Princeton astrophysicist, Edwin Turner, agreed with me, but suspected that I had intended the remark to annoy the reader.